Welcome back to a Mime Soapbox. Today again, we got Chris. Hi, Chris.
Yo.
Yo. All right. So I have Chris on because we're from the same era, the same time, and I have a lot of the same interests growing up.
Watched the same cartoons, played the same games, yada, yada.
Same hobbies, friend groups, all that kind of stuff, music and all. I was drinking, waiting for a friend to come over to have a bonfire a couple nights ago. And on my beautiful Xbox Series S, I'd gone through that silly process to get my dev kit license and win SCP'd over a bunch of ROMs and emulators. And I get an itch every year to replay Star Fox 64.
I was about to say they make medicine for that, but...
Every year, I want to replay it. I want to try and get some badges and just re-experience the whole thing as I did as a child. So I go over to my Xbox and boot it up and ended up playing for quite some time and really relearned my appreciation for that game yet again. It needs to be a constant reminder, and that's why I do this every year. So then I think yesterday I sat down and actually gave it a true playthrough, a couple different exits, you know, the whole shebang, and decided I wanted to talk to someone about it.
That someone's me.
Because I truly do believe that Star Fox 64 is probably the best of all Nintendo 64 games.
I mean, it's not better than Ocarina of Time, but that's for another episode. We won't get into that.
I think it's better. I think it's more fun.
I agree to disagree.
I think it's uncomparably more fun.
I mean, you can play four players, so.
That is a thing. There is multiplayer.
Can't play multiplayer Ocarina of Time. I guess you got me there.
Got him. So, where do we want to start with this? Honestly, I guess we should start with the Rumble Pack, right?
Of course. It's the first game that released the Rumble Pack. It's the
first game to really, truly have a Rumble Pack, other than like Pokemon Pinball, I guess.
Well, I mean, for the 64, but there were Rumble Packs for other stuff, but...
That's really the Rumble Pack for Star Fox 64 kind of made Rumble Packs a necessity for the remainder of time.
For most games. Some games it's annoying.
Pretty much every system after, every controller had Rumble Pack in it.
That is kind of true. I think that was something they were like looking into beforehand, and then they were just like...
Yeah, Dark Souls 3 today. With an Xbox 360 controller on my computer, and it's rumbling in my hands. You know, literal 20-year difference. Over a 20-year difference. And we're still using that technology today.
Yep. Rumbly bumbly.
This heavy brick that made your controller weigh twice as much as it initially did has stuck around with us for this long. I think it's pretty impressive.
Agreed. I mean, Miyamoto knew what he was doing.
And this isn't really the second time that Star Fox innovative with extensions, we'll say.
Well, it was before that. We have the Super Effects chip. That's what it was called, I think.
Yep. Super Effects chip for the original Star Fox.
Yeah, they had to...
Also like a one-time deal, or an early first, I guess, on an expanded... cartridge to handle more computing power.
Well, they were like, hey, we can make this Super Nintendo do more stuff. And they were like, oh, really?
We can make this game more gooder. Give us the power.
Ro-Ro, fight the power.
That's what they did, though. I mean, and then they do it again with Star Fox 64, and they never do it again for any other Star Fox, but
I mean, they already innovated. You can't innovate that amount of change again.
Each one had an innovation, and then after that they just reverted back to garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's pretty wild, like with how similar yet different Star Fox and Star Fox 64 are. You know, because it's the exact same story.
It's pretty much
retelling.
Yeah.
It's a reboot or a remake.
Same thing with the DS version that we won't talk about.
But both of those games changed gaming hardware forever.
They did, actually. That's a good point, actually.
That's what I'm saying, is the other Star Foxes did not.
They couldn't live up to the hype.
They couldn't come close.
And, you know, character design aside, they're supposed to look like puppets, but
You know what my favorite thing is, Chris? I think you know this, but it's the rumor, you know about the Mythos rumor of Star Fox?
The what rumor?
About their legs.
Go on.
You haven't heard this. Okay, so if you pay attention to the first couple games, I think Star Fox Adventure is when it changes, but we don't count that game.
Are you talking about like how they run?
No, they all have prosthetic metallic legs from the knees down.
What?
Look it up.
Hold on. Jamie, pull this up.
But the rumor, or the lore, which I don't believe is necessarily confirmed, but it's like a fan favorite and I love it, is that all of their legs are self-amputated and then fitted with prosthetics to stop the blood flow from their heads leaving to their legs. There's less body for blood to leave their head to deal with the G-forces of the Airwing.
Holy crap, I'm looking at this Nintendo Power right now and they all have metal legs. What is happening? You just blew my mind.
They're all self-amputated to deal with the G-force.
Well, what I'm reading right now said, I think Miyamoto said that it was just kind of coincidental.
Miyamoto's a damn liar.
Miyamoto doesn't know about what he made. He
doesn't know dick about Star Fox, okay? Because that shows from every game that came out after Star Fox 64, he doesn't understand it.
Well, I mean, that is true. Like, they didn't, I don't think they knew at the time that, like, pilots do get blood clots in their legs from, like going against gravity. That's, like, actually a thing.
But looking at Star Fox in that light makes it that much more fun and more lovable, I think, with that potential attention to detail.
Wow. That's crazy.
And in a potential darker side to Star Fox than the cartoony anthropomorphic animal characters, you know?
You want to fly an R-Wing? You got to cut your legs off, bro. Can't have
is this
no
wheezing?
Legs.
No, we're serious.
Oh, that's crazy.
I love it. Once I found or heard that story or that rumor or whatever, I just, Star Fox jumped from, you know, a favorite to one of the favorites, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. So you were talking about, are there any other crazy conspiracy theory things about Star Fox that I don't know that you're going to enlighten me about?
For the lore?
Yeah.
For internal lore, nothing worth talking about that I'm aware of.
Well, I mean, Falco, you know about Falco, right? Falco's not actually a falcon.
Falco Lombardi?
Yeah, he's actually based on a pheasant, not a falcon.
See, that's up for interpretation. Because there's that whole thing where they're based off of that one area in Japan that's next to Nintendo, and it's like some shrine.
Yeah. Court,
and they have the to walk through the arches, and there's a fox, and then next to it there is like a falcon.
It's a pheasant. So the pheasant is actually the one that's significant in Japanese folklore, not the falcon.
Well, the falcon's a lot cooler, man.
But Falco Lombardi's name comes from Carlo Rambaldi, which was a... He was in the Japanese edition. He was a special effects designer. But all the characters, like you said, are all pretty much designed off of people that were working on the game.
Even the pig.
Pig's such an asshole. God, it's such a... That was...
Pigma Dengen? Or Dengar? I think it's Dengar.
I don't remember his last name, but I do know his name's Pigma. And he's...
The traitor... With the worst voice and the ugliest little puppet mouth, and oh god, he's awful.
Damn Benedict Arnold.
How dare you do that to James McCloud?
Yeah. Don't kill his dad.
Agent Smith version of Fox McCloud.
So at the end, if you do the hard mode through all the hard mode through the 64 version, you know, at the end of that, there's like this whole thing where you're like getting out, like the X-Wing getting out of the Death Star. But at the end of it, like you...
Planet Venom.
Yeah. So yes. You're doing that, but at the end, you're guided out by like your dad. Is that supposed to be like... Is it supposed to be like a ghost?
That is up for interpretation. Just I love all those movies that, you know, have kind of an open ending. So it's been assumed that even from Star Fox 1 that James McCloud's dead. He was captured by Andross and Pepe. He was captured with Pepe, but Pepe escaped and James didn't.
I wonder how Pepe got out.
But then you know you have the scene where, you know, you would think it was like Vader and whatever talking to Anakin or to what's his face? You know what I'm talking about, in the
Anakin talking to Luke.
Yeah, Anakin talking to Luke. There you go.
Yeah.
In the end, when they're ghosts, you think it's kind of like that kind of vibe. But there is also, in the cutscene after that, when they're showing the air wings flying through space, you see a star move and shoot off. And it could be implied that that was actually James McCloud's ship flying off. After he escaped from Venom as well with Fox.
Use a barrel roll, Fox.
So that could be the case. It's never been confirmed or denied if James McCloud's actually dead. In any of the games that I'm aware of, actually.
Well, still the pig's an asshole. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, he's the worst. Absolute worst. And what kills me is everyone hates Slippy.
Well, I mean, Slippy's a Jar Jar. We know how you feel about Jar Jar, though.
I love Slippy.
He's so annoying.
He scans all the bosses, so you know how much health they got.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You gotta kill him anyway.
He's the cute, lovable young one. You know what? We were talking about this weekend at my cookout, right?
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of the characters, because I put a little more thought into it. I think it was this morning. And remember how I told you Pepe... I imagine Pepe is Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd, yeah.
For some reason, he just has that like Dan Aykroyd dad vibe, which kind of makes sense. He's kind of like Fox's adopted uncle, really.
Can so I guess give you my pick on Slippy?
Well, I was going to give mine, but go ahead.
I was going to say like kind of like a Rick Moranis type vibe.
That works.
See where I'm going with it?
I do. And that's probably better than what I was going to say. I was going to say Carl Gass from like Tenacious D, the fat bald one.
I see what you did there. Or you could just say Jack Black, period, because Jack Black is... Because
that makes it fun. I mean, it does make it pretty fun.
It makes it fun, but Jack Black's also... The more you listen to Jack Black, the more annoying he gets, and you gotta, like, stop and, like, come back to Jack Black later.
Jack Black is, like, obnoxiously annoying. I can't deal with him, to be honest.
I can deal with him for, like... The amount of time he was in Tropic Thunder was a good amount of time.
I was gonna say Mars Attacks.
Ack.
That was a good amount of time to deal with him. Wasn't too much. Just the right amount.
And I'm still back on the super effects graphics chips, man. That just the things that we got because of that chip were so awesome. Like being able to play Doom on the Super Nintendo.
Yep.
And we wouldn't have got all the effects that we got from Super Mario World 2, like the Yoshi's Island. And
yep. Well, not only that, but I think it really tended to lead a lot of developers to start thinking a little bit more outside of the box.
Oh, of course.
The limitations can be bent when needed, if it's worth so.
What was the game that you played where you were where it was like cars? Like, and you got to drive a car around, but it was based in that 3D. And like, if your car got hit, it would break apart, but it would like form back together.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't place the name.
Stunt Track.
I think it was something.
Stunt Track FF. Hold on, Jamie, yeah. Pull that up. Just gonna keep doing that because it's funny. Stunt Race FX. Yep.
Stunt Race FX. Yep.
That game. One. That game's still super expensive. Wow, I didn't realize it was that expensive again.
Yep. Oh, the retro cart community's gotten insane. I don't know how they got fed so much money, but
I mean,
those prices are out of control.
It's only gonna go up because they don't make them no more.
Yeah, probably.
Until China starts counterfeiting them and sending them to us, which they already started.
You can get a reproduction card of anything for $20.
They don't have that. They don't have that chip on there, though, I bet.
They don't have that 30-year-old smell to them either.
Yep, they're not like half yellow. It looks like.
And then some kid that wrote Brian and Cran and Sharpie on top of it,
yep.
Right across the label, so you can't magic eraser it off.
It's just destroyed. It's just
like carved it in with a pencil that was like half dull.
Or somebody used a wood burner kit to like put their initials on the in the plastic.
A Viber peener just right across it, just etched forever. Oh, that's the worst part about it. Do you buy those? If you come across a good deal, but it's got someone's name etched into it or even written on it, do you go pick it up?
It really depends, because like you can get new cases and stuff, or you can just buy just crap old games and take the cases apart, and as long as the back is a matching color of the case you have, I mean, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. I don't even know if that's faux pas. I'm not even in that community anymore.
I would assume it's outrageously faux pas.
Well, as long as you don't tell anybody.
I pass on it. It's like, you know, you pick up, Blast Corps, awesome. And then like Vanessa just wrote her name across the whole thing in magic marker. And just, I can't deal with that. I don't want to be, I don't want to see that ever.
Vanessa is a very oddly specific name.
I don't know. I know, man. It's just, it makes it worse, doesn't it? Would it rather just be like Tom or Vanessa?
This copy of Battletoads belonged to Ferdinand.
That might increase the value a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds,
I guess so.
Sounds suiting. There should be another frog named Ferdinand.
All right. Wait, what is your favorite vehicle type in the 64 version?
Oh, just the ship.
Just the R-Wing?
Yeah.
You didn't like the submarine?
Not really.
You shouldn't, because it's not good.
I don't like any of them except the R-Wing. I don't know. That's what I think makes Star Fox so special, was the R-Wing in general.
The submarine?
Not only is it a rail shooter, and I'm sure you're aware I'm a rail shooter junkie. I guess my favorite like retro type of game to play, you know, Sin and Punishment. And
I was literally about to say Sin and Punishment.
And Panzer Dragoon. Just list goes on of all these awesome rail shooters. And I love arcade games too, which most of the good ones are rails. And then, I mean, you could even say like top down
airplane games.
They're kind of rails as well. But they it was a rail game that made it so it wasn't always a rail game, or didn't even feel like a rail game at all.
Well, that was the thing too with Star Fox 64. Like, you couldn't really go the multiple path route that you could do in 64 on the SNES. So like, there were ways you could go back and play a level again and beat it a different way.
Oh, like, yeah. That was the thing. So like, not only does it not feel like a rail, because you got the all range mode.
All range mode.
That always pops up, right? Not only that, but you can still somersault and brake and accelerate and boost, and then you can, you know, do your barrel rolls and zip side to side. It doesn't feel
your U-turns
to a rail. Like, it feels so much more open than that. But that, yeah, and like you're saying, not only does like the actual mechanics of the game not feel like a rail, even though it is, you then have your path choosing for different planets to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like removed as far as it can be from being a rail shooter while still being a rail shooter. And I think that's probably the most impressive thing about the game.
It was definitely innovative for what it was, and it opened up the doors for a lot of other stuff, because like Panzer Dragoon, obviously coming out on what was the first console that was out on? I know Saturn. It was Saturn, but was that an actual arcade game as well?
Potentially.
Probably in Japan, because they've got everything and anything in Japan. But like having the rail shooter have the aspect changed where you could go down different paths and stuff, it opened up different stuff. Like racing games started doing it. Like you got Cruise in USA and those games where you could stay on the rails and do a race, but then you could have like these alternate pathways that you could go down. And oh, I mean,
I love Cruise in USA. When you brought up like a car game, I was like, Cruise in USA. It was like the first thing to pop into mind before you described what car game you were talking about, even.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. I think I played maybe as much Cruise in USA as I did Star Fox, just because the multiplayer was a little more accessible.
I think I played more Cruise in USA in the arcade at Partner's Pizza than I did.
Right. It was like that was like the staple default arcade game for a pizza joint.
I would play that, and I'd be next to my dad playing Guns N' Roses pinball.
The pizza joint, like the parlor, sit across from each other, look down, Mrs. Pac-Man.
Yep.
And then Cruising USA was
and Mortal Kombat 3.
Every pizza joint ever. And then every predominantly Mexican laundromat had Mortal Kombat.
That's true, too. Yeah, it either had that or had one of five play or six play with Samurai Showdown and Metal Slug.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story. Speaking about like Southern America and Central America and fighting game arcades, that's a good topic to talk about another day.
I agree.
That's a doozy. It's really cool.
Talking about Metal Slug, I've got Metal Slug. I'm looking at my Metal Slug tattoo on my right now. got Marco thumbs up and out of a tank. So,
I would be happier if they would have made a Metal Slug styled Star Fox game compared to any Star Fox that came out after 64.
Well, if Nintendo's listening, there you go. There's your $1 million, or what, $1 million isn't a lot of money anymore. $1 billion idea.
It was like with Adventure and the one after it, even how they were so focused on getting Fox on the ground, like, you know, boots on the ground. They could have done something cool like Metal Slug, but instead made those god awful arena shooter. Well, one's like an Orc Arena Time ripoff, and then the other is just a really bad arena shooter.
Yeah, what was the one? It was Adventure, I think it was, where it was like, they were like, oh, well, now Fox is he's a hero of time. He's going to go play the Song of Time on his ocarina.
Well, he had to like save the dinosaur planet from exploding and ruining their world or whatever.
Good.
But really what they did is they took a game that was halfway in development already that was a dinosaur-themed exploration game.
Oh,
and threw Star Fox characters into it. Yeah, almost give Turok a spear and turn it down to like PG. Yeah. And they just branded it Star Fox instead. And it was
Doki Doki
disaster.
Doki Doki Panic Mario 2 all over again.
Then they need to make like a Mario version of Doki Doki Literature Club.
What is Doki Doki Literature Club? God, you're making me look at so much
stuff.
You
haven't played Doki Doki Literature Club?
No. What is that?
Oh, you got to. Oh, God. Play it with Brandy one night.
Doki?
It is a romance click novel game.
Oh, I see, schoolgirls. Oh, Lord. What have you sent me to? You know...
Trust me on this one. I had Brooke almost in tears.
Is it goofy?
No. You gotta play it for like a good hour, and then you get the gist of what's going on.
I'm scared.
Maybe that's what we do next time, is we talk about that after you play it for a while.
The first thing on Google is Doki Doki Literature Club inappropriate? Psychological horror, visual novel, dark, gore, violent, and sexual Drew?
What? It was all the rage a couple years ago, man.
All the Cup of Rage. I mean, is it like Catherine? I played Catherine.
No, it's not like Catherine. It's like Hayato Boyfriend.
Oh, Hayato Boyfriend, the pigeon simulator.
Yeah. Except it's like a horror thriller instead of pigeons.
Nice.
Which is great to think about. That's a fun sentence.
Yeah, that's a bunch of words that I never thought would be in the same order ever. But here we are. this game is not suitable for children or those easily disturbed. All right, I think I'm in.
You should be. It's so good. We can talk about that one later. It's worth the play like a quarter of the way through at least.
Yeah, we're straying away from Star Fox talking about schoolgirls and disturbing content. So
that's fine.
Back to the Beatles shout out to General Pepper.
Yep. That goes back to the original Star Fox.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I don't really like the Beatles, but
I don't either. So overrated.
Oh, very overrated. But that's yet again another topic for a different time. Do you know you technically can't even really perform what a barrel roll is in Star Fox?
You can't. Yes, but they called it the wrong thing.
It's an aileron roll.
Yeah, the aileron is what a barrel roll is, and what you're doing is like a corkscrew or something. Yeah, it is. But when you think of, I mean, us growing up, right, man? Like the Game Boy didn't have voice acting. The Super Nintendo hardly had voice acting. And when it did, it would be a word or two, and it was very distorted. You could say the same, obviously, for like the Sega and all that. But then we get to the 64, and one of its early titles, Star Fox, has this amazing narrative, voice acted driven storyline to it.
Wow, the guy that did Pigma's voice is very, very white. So much so that his name is David White. What was his line that he said? He said something really like...
You mean Judas?
Yeah, he said something super edgy. About foxes. Yeah, your dad screamed that way or something.
Exactly. It's so bad. Pigma is the standout, I think, when it comes to the voice acting, too. Everything else fit really well, and then Pigma happened. And he's such a different character than the rest of the cast. I guess it's to portray how evil he truly was, which makes sense.
He's kind of like Wario.
Kind of. Except, like, more evil.
I'm trying to think of what else I know about Pigma. I think I read something else about him being... Like, he didn't do it for money. Like, that's not why he betrayed Star Fox. He like, betrayed them for, like, Andross's... like approval, I think.
Yeah, I think it was just to get in good with Andross and join the gang and get like a high rank.
He's got a bunch of lines. I didn't realize that. I'm looking at a soundboard right now, and he's got like,
yeah, there's a handful. Well, he shows up 3 times, I think.
And Daddy screamed real good before he died.
Wow. Yeah, and he said it like big, like real good, like really real.
Yeah, it was because he's a pig. Get it? Ha ha ha. Waka waka.
More awful than it already was.
He's just
the voice acting in that game's so good, because not only does it promote this small yet simple narrative, but they also like give you tips and hints and clues the whole way through the game, like your squad, the Star Fox. You know, they need help, you help them. They may unlock a new path. They might tell you, like, the train level with the guy in the back of the train, and you got to hit all the switches.
Oh, yeah, we're on the tank. You're on the tank. That was I actually thought the tank was pretty cool. The tank was actually really good.
That level is fun because there's a lot going on.
The submarine, though, can go off and die with the water level in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the original game on NES.
Yeah, it's not a good level. I think it's my least favorite.
What is it with water levels? Like, doing the first time I went through Ocarina of Time and trying to figure out the water temple on my own, I wanted to destroy my console. It was really difficult.
I hate water levels and everything. I think that's always going to stem back to Sonic 2.
Bim 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 bim.
Yeah, the stupid yellow and purple blocks you're having to hop on with water gravity and physics on with limited time, and they're it's the worst.
And also
like, it even makes less sense because Sonic's got to go fast, and they put these slow, awful water levels in that slow you down to like molasses levels. It just doesn't even make sense for the Sonic franchise as a whole.
That running out of air music is like anxiety inducing to this day.
It's awful. It's awful.
Oh, that like, should I should make that my
Donkey alarm. Kong Country. Donkey Kong Country did water levels pretty good.
Yeah, and that music was banging.
If it is, it's one of the better tracks to come out of the Super Nintendo era. But to, if you had to include a water level, that's one that was done well.
Or Echo the Dolphin. God, I love playing Echo the Dolphin.
You're a small minority, sir.
Yeah, well, people started playing Echo the Dolphin and they didn't realize or they didn't understand how the controls worked. So yeah. they gave it like 10 minutes. And they're like, this game's stupid. And they just put it down.
I'm impartial on it. I think I like it for its nostalgia value and its reputation and this and that. But gameplay itself, not amazing. It's not bad, but it's not thrilling either.
It's no Vector Man.
No, it's not. It's no Comic Zone.
Oh boy, Comic Zone.
Wait, you like Comic Zone too?
Absolutely. That's one of my favorite Sega games of all time.
That is my favorite Sega game of all time. I bring it up whenever I can when I talk about retro gaming stuff.
Didn't you like meet the guy that did Comic Zone or talk to him or something?
No. I tried. I actually tried finding him to talk to him on the show.
There's your goal.
Yeah, he's like impossible to get a hold of.
Hmm.
Yeah, that game was so good.
It was very good. It was ahead of its time. It had
subtle, very small voice acting to it.
Yeah, but they were like all like muffled and goofy sounding.
They were sound effects though, not dialogue. But they were good. They were pretty good. You know what else is awesome about Star Fox that gets overlooked though? Is like not only we were just talking about how there's all like the different courses you can go. And you have to unlock those paths. It's not just like pick and choose which level you have to not only have all, or no, for the medals, you got to keep everyone alive. But for some of the paths, you have to keep everyone alive. Others, you got to find hidden secret entries or take certain paths or do certain things.
Yeah, you weren't allowed to go forward in like certain path progressions unless you beat the level with the alternate ending, right?
Yeah. And then, but what's even cooler is like you were rewarded when you did. I feel like because when you stayed to the harder side, you get extra characters and dialogue than you would get. If you played the game on easy all the way through, you would never meet Bill or Cat.
Oh, yeah, because you have to do the harder ones to actually get like the good ending, like the complete ending where you actually fight that brain, the brain Andross, like his true form or whatever.
Yeah, you I wonder how many people play through the game, always took the easy path or maybe dabbled in the middle path and never got to even see the other half of the game.
Probably a small minority of people that actually beat it the way through, or they beat it that way as a child. And then as an adult, they were like, oh my God, I can beat it a different way. And then they have to like grind through it again to try to beat it.
Then you get to learn about Falco's romance.
He didn't give a shit about her.
He's always got to be the cool cucumber, man.
Yeah, but he like
a bad attitude.
He did that, but like at the same time, it was like he was like hard to get. I don't care about you. She's like, oh Falco. You knew it was there. There was some tension there.
Which is also weird because neither of those, or well, Bill might have been, can't remember, but Kat wasn't in two. Yeah, there's two other female characters they add. There's two other female characters, and neither were Kat.
You talking about from the remake from 1 to 2?
Star Fox 2, the unreleased game that eventually got released on the Nintendo Mini.
Oh, wow. I don't think I've ever played that.
Okay, it's not great.
Oh, no, it's not.
It's okay.
It's not great.
But there's two playable female Star Foxes, and neither is Kat.
Is there one of them? I think one of them's name was Crystal. I think
no, Crystal comes in the Adventures.
Yeah, I'm not thinking of the right one then. I do know, doesn't Koji Kondo, doesn't he do the music for 2?
He does the music for 64.
Pretty sure he did the music for
It's possible.
No, I guess it's just two. He also did Mario 64.
What, Koji Kondo? No, he did Star Fox 64.
Yeah. But he did he did also Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Super Mario Sunshine. Like,
and you can hear it. You can hear the similarities between them all.
Especially with the Majora's Mask. When you were playing some of it earlier, I was like, wow. I hear it a lot.
It's a good bit. It's like, there's almost like a Princess Vibe soundtrack, like, influence to it as well in some parts, I think.
Oh, he's got credits for Star Fox, doing the sound effects on Star Fox.
Huh. There you go. It's a great soundtrack.
Absolutely.
Great soundtrack. I mean, I think everyone remembers, like, the opening song for sure, and then when you go to Corneria.
Sure,
remember that music really well.
And then what's the Smash Brothers level
where it has their big ship?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. That song's pretty memorable too, I guess.
That's the one I remember the most, to be honest with you, because I played a lot.
Yeah, I hear you there. You know what's interesting too, is Wolf.
Yeah.
Star Wolf. Who's arguably the coolest character in the whole game, even though he's the bad guy.
Ish. Bad guy ish.
They never say how, why, or when he was a bad guy.
He was just Andross's team.
Just one of Andross's team.
Well, I mean, you also got the chameleon. He was he wasn't in the game very much, was he?
No, you only saw him when you fought the whole, like, Star Wolf team.
And that happens. Oh, you do it the one time, and then after you do the hard mode, you got to fight him one more time before you go into Venom.
Yep, the second from last level, you'll fight him again, because you have Andrew, you have the chameleon, you got Pygma, and then obviously Star Wolf.
Pygma. I just hate hearing his name.
Right.
Hate that guy.
Wolf's so cool. And then Wolf finally gets, like, shown how cooler he is in Brawl, right? In Melee or Smash Brawl.
That was he was actually a really good character. I played him a little bit. He's kind of difficult to master for me anyway, but
he was just so cool. There's so much more opportunity for that character that just kind of isn't there.
Epi should have been a character in Smash Brothers.
I think all the space animals should have been. Mind you, I love Fire Emblem, but we can get, you know, 12 Fire Emblem sorties, but we can't get the whole Star Fox.
Yeah, we can get Ken Masters and Ryu, but
yeah, no, yeah, don't. Steve.
Yeah.
Minecraft Steve over Slippy.
Yeah. That was a mistake.
Thinking? What are they thinking? You know, they don't even get to decide what characters to put into Ultimate.
Really?
Nintendo tells them. Yep. At Nintendo tells them who they have to put in next, and they do it. And it's told to them, like, almost a year before they're released.
Huh. Have they stopped doing characters, or are they still releasing characters? I haven't played much.
It's done. It's stopped.
Like, they keep releasing characters, nobody's gonna want to buy another game.
The last one was Sora from Kingdom Hearts.
Now that I don't hate.
He was the last one.
Sora and is it just Sora, or is there anybody else?
Oh, there's been a bunch, but Sora's the last character. And I was like, yep, we're done. Here's your last character. Bye.
We're working on the new one.
It was taken from, like, some magazine poll from, like, 12 years before who everyone wanted, and he won, so they actually did it or something. It was some weird story like that.
Huh. Now I'm curious wow, there's 82 fighters now?
Yeah, and only 3 are space animals.
Sephiroth. Kazuya from...
Yeah, Tekken.
What?
And he's really good too, the more annoying part of it all.
And Terry from Fatal Fury.
Yep.
Wow. Do you see how far behind I am on this? Good lord.
Yeah, you're like 2 years behind.
The piranha plant. I had the piranha plant. That's cool. Dark Pit. Huh.
Have you seen anything of there being a new Star Fox for the Switch at all?
I haven't seen anything, but that doesn't mean that there's probably not one in the works. I mean, it's one of their biggest franchises, so.
Well, you would think that, but here we are, as they continue to shovel money into Splatoon or whatever.
I mean, Splatoon's not bad.
It's not Star Fox.
Starlink Battle for Atlas. That was 2018. That was the last time they...
Oh, that. Yeah, that didn't happen either.
Doesn't look like it.
As jerks.
Wait, what's this? Fans have been hoping to hear a Star Fox Switch release date for years now. Unfortunately, it's... Will we get a Star Fox on the Switch? I mean, I think they were doing it on... Didn't they put Star Fox 64 on the Switch Online?
Yes.
And that was recent?
Yes.
Okay.
But they apparently all the Nintendo 64 emulations over on the Switch play very poorly.
Which is strange to me, because the it's their console.
Well, look it up. I know, that makes no sense, right? But you can look up videos where people have done comparisons of actual hardware Ocarina of Time compared to Switch Ocarina of Time, and it's like lagging in frames every couple seconds. It's another frame behind. It's bad.
Did they do that? You think they did that intentionally? Because sometimes it's okay if we're doing frame skipping on purpose so people don't lose the integrity of the game. But like, you don't have to do that. You can make it just run full speed like it was like a native game.
They play like crap.
That's trash.
The Xbox emulates Star Fox better than Switch does.
Yeah. Well, the Star Fox has... I mean, Star Fox, the Xbox has better hardware than the Switch does.
Yeah, but it's through an emulator, like through RetroArch with like... I don't even remember which emulator core is on there. But compared to Nintendo actually owning source code and being able to port it properly if they wanted... And the port was a disaster.
They just want to release it in a store somewhere, so you have to pay for it again and again and again and again.
Ding, ding, ding.
Corporate America. Yeah, but
just how the last good Star Fox game was Star Fox 64 DS, which is just a redone 64 and not as good.
Yep.
I heard how many times can you sell everyone Skyrim?
A bunch, apparently, and people will keep buying it.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I'm hoping they improve, and I thought there was rumor of a a Switch Pro instead of this OLED Switch that came out not too long ago.
Nope, it was just the OLED.
That's the only thing they've had planned? Wow, that's sad.
What did you think about the final Andross battle in 64?
As a child, when I played it.
It was a little spooky, wasn't it?
It was. I definitely probably shouldn't have played it as a child.
It's like the eyes start glowing red as you're shooting them.
Yeah.
And you know, weird, and he's got his creepy monkey mouth. And
it's just a floating brain.
Then you shoot off his skin, and he's this robotic weirdo, and he's trying to eat you. He's like literally sucking your chip into his mouth to nom 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 you.
Not me. He didn't beat me. Yeah, he beat me a bunch. It took me a good time to play through it.
It was really heavy. There's a lot of gravity to that scene, right?
Yep.
I thought like first playthrough, you're finally fighting Andross, and it's this creepy disembodied Andross head, just with that like evil laughing look at his face the whole time.
And the robotic voice, that was kind of chilling too.
Yeah, like it was so good, because I feel like a lot of 64 games in general, the final bosses were kind of duds.
Well,
a lot of times they're kind of hokey or letdowns or not as impactful maybe, but like I feel Star Fox 64 had a great climax to it.
that Ganon boss fight at the end of Ocarina of Time is still like one of the best ones ever.
Yeah, I feel like playing catch.
You could do it with a jar.
Volleyball, right? Volleyball.
You could do it with an empty jar.
Did you get any badges in Star Fox 64, or medals, I guess they're called technically, when you were a kid?
The only thing I remember at the end of the game was the paycheck where they paid you, and
yeah, there's that. That's like your
however many kills you got times $64.
I remember getting a badge or two, or a medal or two, as a kid and losing it. Because the first one I got, I didn't even know it was a thing.
I don't remember that. Together,
and I think I got one more, maybe. I think it was just one more. I've gotten more as an adult, but yeah, it's like once you get so many kills in a level, you'll get a medal.
Oh, like a completion type thing?
So it's, you have to keep your whole crew alive, and you have to get X amount of kills, and there's a determined number for each level. Each level varies. And some of them are incredibly difficult, but you can get a medal for doing that. And then once you get a medal on every stage, then you unlock expert mode.
Really?
And then in expert mode, like, you have less health, you take more damage, and then you try and metal it out again. And they unlock like trivialties for the multiplayer. Your metal count and how you would do that would get to where you could use the tank or play on foot with bazookas for the multiplayer.
I didn't really play the multiplayer. I think I played it like once or twice.
It wasn't too often. The main game is too good to play the multiplayer.
The multiplayer. Yeah. So you have to have a certain amount of kills. I think it's over 150 kills for like Sector Y.
Each level's different.
Ficina's was like 50. I vaguely remember.
One of easier ones, but there's an easy one that pretty much if you do it the right way, you're going to get a medal. And I did it and got super excited and then tried figuring out, like, or grinding out, trying to get medals on other ones too. It was pretty cool. Once you, because, like, it was never, like, shown to you up front. Like, you had to earn a medal to realize medals existed.
Yeah, it wasn't like they didn't tell you about them. You can earn a medal. It didn't say anything like that. It's just, you're just like, what is a medal? How did I get that?
And then you get one, you're like, oh crap, I gotta get all these now. I gotta go. Let's go.
Yeah.
let me choreograph every single level and where enemies pop up and where I'm supposed to charge up the laser and when I'm supposed to use a bomb and how can I, where do I break so I have more time to kill more crap.
Let me wait till mom has to go to the grocery store and then I can go look in the Nintendo Power in the section where the magazines are.
Right? That's where I spent all my time as a kid.
Take my notepad so I can write down all the tips and tricks and all the Mortal Kombat fatalities.
You couldn't get away with that anymore as a parent.
What do you mean?
When I was a kid, we go to a grocery store, we walk in, I find magazine aisle, and then that's where I sit. Until mom walks up to go to the register, and we're done.
Like, oh yeah, later. You'd get snatched as a kid now.
Like I would sit there and read tips and tricks and the Nintendo Power and whatever else.
Look at all the gun magazines and
yeah. I mean, not only are like Circus, especially like metal magazines. And
oh
stuff.
Yeah.
Not only are magazines like a dead medium anyway, but you can't really leave your kid in the store wherever you want anymore either.
Oh yeah, they'll call CPS on you. You'll get your kid taken away.
Freak out, yeah.
Or somebody will just literally take your kid.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's always been relevant, unfortunately. But
yeah, I didn't think about it. Like parents. My parents didn't think about that stuff. My parents would probably be joking around, be like, "Yeah, they'd bring him back. They wouldn't keep him long. They'd be like, we've made a mistake. Yeah, take us to jail. We made a mistake."
Oh man, I just thought about that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because I remember I'd always check, because I used to draw like a crap ton as a kid. And I sent drawings to Tips and Tricks to get it.
Oh, yeah, dude.
You know,
I remember
the
that.
Code pages.
Yeah.
You get drawing on the bottom. I got in like two or three times. And it was always like super exciting to go to the store to see the new issue to see if I got in that time or not. I think it was like some Dragon Quest or Dragon Warrior. drawings I did or something stupid, you know, whatever.
Did you get in because it was actually a really good drawing, or was it like something your mom put on the refrigerator?
Oh, they're definitely refrigerator drawings. They're good enough for like an 8-year-old, I suppose.
Yeah.
Compared to like this is me. It would have been, you know, dog barf. But
this is me, and I'm fighting with Mario.
Oh man, yeah. I was so excited. That was, I think, one of my like most exciting moments as a kid, seeing my drawing and tips and tricks.
It's no Sonichu, but
nope, it definitely isn't. Yeah. Oh man, the whole magazine aisle debacle. Wow.
Yeah, magazine aisle used to be like half an aisle long on one side, and now it's like,
yeah. Well, and there'd always be like two other kids hanging out with you from like, you know, their parents dropping them off. All right, look at the video game magazines. Yep. I'll be back. It was like a story time, you know, just like babysitting corner.
Oh, that, and then you like when you go to like Toys R Us or like Target or Walmart, where they had the video game set up, you'd have just a gaggle of children waiting for their turn to play the demo disc.
The demo, right?
Yeah.
And you're looking straight up because you're only like 3.5 feet, 4 foot tall. And you're looking up at like a 9 foot high mounted television that's about 27 inches at best.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
CRT.
Yeah, CRT.
And it's been on so long that it's got like the colors are all screwed up.
And a wall mounted controller you can't move for like to take a single step back to get a better view, and instead of, you know, getting the top of your head to touch your butt.
You're waiting on your chance to play the Dreamcast, the Sega Saturn version of Knights that only lasts for like 10 seconds.
Right? I remember that specifically. Holy cow.
Yeah. And or like mine, I fondly remember going to Toys R Us to shop for Christmas stuff as a kid, and my parents were like, "What do you want?" And I was like, "Anything in the aisle." And just where the video games were. And I was like, "You can go look wherever you want, but I'm going to sit here and play Killer Instinct and beat all these other kids because I know how to do combos."
Yep.
And then I would just sit there for however long we were in there. And they're like, "You don't want to go look at nothing else? You don't want a bicycle?" I was like, Do you think I want a bicycle? You see what I've been doing the entire time. I'm playing this. Get me this.
Stores were the Wild West of lost children.
Yeah.
That's a crazy thought.
I think my parents actually left, or they lost my brother in a store one time.
I mean, that's probably happened to everyone a couple times in those days.
Yeah, well, I mean, back then it was like they would
sneak off to go pee the second they come back to pick you up from the Nintendo 64 demo unit.
Yep, your name's being announced over the loudspeaker, and people are looking down aisles trying to find you, and you're just still where you were, and you're like, "I don't know why you didn't do that. It's embarrassing me, Mom."
I had a pee-pee. that's wild. Because I think they had a 64 demo.
Yep.
At some point, like movie gallery or something.
Well, the one I remember, do you remember the one they had set up at Blockbuster, and it was just Pokemon Snap forever?
Yes.
Yeah, the one we had, it was just Pokemon Snap.
That was when they had, when they had the printer for Pokemon Snap.
Yep.
And they had to bring up your memory card up to Blockbuster to print off pictures that you took in Pokemon Snap.
Wow.
That never worked. Ever.
It never worked.
It would run out of paper the first time, and the employees didn't care at all.
Be like, yeah, that was my first instance of the ice cream machine is broken.
Oh boy.
The Pokemon Snap printer doesn't work.
Both of those companies are still as large as ever.
Yeah.
McDonald's and GameStop. Two in every town.
Yeah. And they used to have, you know, the indoor play place in, up in Noonan. That one had, an N64 there, and it had,
the
Hab on it.
Right?
Yep. It had Kirby Crystal Shards. And
there was one that had Smash, I think.
No, the Smash one they took away because kids started having too many freakouts, and they took away that. They just made it a single player game that people had to fight over. But I know it was Kirby. I know it was Kirby, and I think it was like, was there a Tetris attack on the?
It's there was like a Tetris Sphere and Tetris. Yeah, there's a couple Tetris games on the 64.
I think it was a puzzle game.
Two or three.
Pretty sure it was a puzzle game. Yeah.
Could have just been Bust a Move or something.
I love that game so much.
Is that a real shooter?
I mean, no, but...
Is it no difference than 1949? Or 47? Or whichever? 19... Well, 19XX. We'll say that one. 42, yeah, 42.
The original Nintendo version?
Yeah, because it's the same thing as Bust a Move, right?
One of Capcom's greatest...
Or Bubble Wubble or whatever that game. You know, you shoot the ball from the bottom to the top and it lines up in the rows and then they clear the balls.
Yep.
It's no different than 1942.
I mean, sure.
Same game.
Yeah.
Think about it.
No, it's not.
Think about it. Think about it.
It's not at all.
It's the same thing. Little shooty thingy on the bottom shooting stuff to the top.
Little shooty thingy.
Same game.
Jamie, pull that up. Bubble.
It's the truth. Do you ever think we'll get a new Star Fox, Chris, that'll actually...
I want one.
Be a true successor to the 64, at least.
A true successor? No. Yeah. You can't.
You don't. Never close.
That's one of the member berries that I don't think needs to be revisited. I think we should just leave it alone.
I'm the opposite. I want a new one so bad. That's worth owning.
I can't see it being any better than 64. There isn't really much that you could do at this point.
Probably not. I mean, the ways of real shooters are kind of dead anyway.
What if they did like a Star Fox Battle Royale?
I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, instantly.
Or you can make your own character, and you could go whether or not you want to be on Star Wolf or Star Fox.
Yeah, they have like 120 different animals that you get to change which animal, and then like what color fur or
oh
ears
god,
or
it's
whatever.
Like a, it's like a MOBA.
Just like create your own space animal and get in these massive like 100 player dogfights. Are you kidding me? That sounds amazing.
You mean like
if there's like a skin or something in the battle pass or whatever where you get all the voices to be like the original? How good would that be?
Super Animal Royale, but with spaceships.
God, I'd be so in, dude. Anything Star Fox. I need something. It's the one game we never got the sequel we deserve to. I really think that's probably like the number one. Why didn't we get a better sequel ever?
Well,
and it hasn't been for the sake of lack of trying. There's been plenty.
When are we gonna get the live action Star Fox movie?
Right.
And Star Fox is played by Keanu Reeves.
See, I feel like he could be Falco.
Yeah, he could be Falco, and then Steve Buscemi can play Slippy.
Have Matt Damon play Fox.
Matt Damon.
You're pretty good. I mean, I'd watch it. It would probably be terrifying. It would probably end up looking like Five Nights at Freddy's and just be awful. Creepy animorph suits just coming at you for no reason.
Oh, boy. I need...
That was the cool part, though, like, because originally, like, all the art, like you were talking about earlier... To wrap this up, because when you go back to the beginning, like all the art, the manual stuff and the instructions and everything had them as actual like puppets.
Yeah.
Or like actual like live action models, whether they're painted or not, they look damn well enough where there's like a live action puppet, Muppet, whatever.
Even like Rob, like, you know, because Rob, the computer, he's like an homage to Rob the robot from.
Yep.
Like
it looks so cool. I remember seeing that as a kid. Like, this is the coolest art I've seen for a game ever. And it was like Fox and Falco, I think, next to each other or something. And it looked like it could have been like a new TV show.
Are you talking about where they look like, where they look like puppets?
Yeah, when they were fuzzy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like some Jim Henson. Good.
The art was so good.
It's very good. They were very Jim Henson-esque.
Yeah, like really lifelike, and like really like showed like soul through a Muppet.
Like the one, dope. Like the one
faded away too.
The one I still remember, the iconic one on the it was like a cover for a Nintendo Power, where it was like it almost looked like Star Wars, where they were all like looking in the same direction.
Yeah, and
Falco and Fox look good, and Peppy looks good, and then Slippy's weird and fat, and I don't get why he was that fat, but and then you got like two R-Wings in the background and like a Nebula. It looked really cool.
It looked amazing, and then it just kind of got dropped, really. Because by the time the 64 one came out, they wanted to show the 3D graphics of the 3D game.
Yeah.
So the Muppets disappeared.
And then they actually have normal legs, not metal legs. Looks like they have boots on instead of actually having their legs had been amputated.
What, the Muppet ones?
Well, the Muppet ones, they look like they actually have like metal legs, like they look like they're running on raptor.
Yeah, no, it's just like I was saying, it was when Adventures came out, is they all of a sudden had boots.
Yeah, they look like they had boots.
But that was the first Star Fox game made that didn't have Nintendo directing it.
Is it really?
Yep. It was Rare.
Huh.
Yep. And then Konami did one, is it? Or Banco? Bank? I don't know. Because then they had three different companies direct, and they all sucked. And then they put out the fourth one, it still sucks, so. That's why we talk about 64, not any of the other ones.
Well, we have to, there's some things we just don't talk about, like Castlevania 64.
Yeah, I think the second one was better.
The creator of Castlevania 64, when asked in an interview, was like, hey, yeah, talk about Castlevania 64. And he said, what's Castlevania 64?
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Yeah.
A few of them are, though, to be fair. Like that 360 one they put out, the multiplayer one. It was so bad.
Which one are you talking about?
It was the one that was supposed to be like Symphony of the Night, but it was a super multiplayer online one only. And it was just bad. The camera was terrible. It was just bad.
Well, I do know that the ones that are kind of like God of War, those are fantastic.
Oh yeah. No, for sure.
Those are great.
It's rare Castlevania misses.
That's what I was telling you, man. You need to play Infernax. Infernax is like, it's like old school Castlevania. It's on Game Pass.
All right, I'll look it up. I'm in. Send me a message to remind me.
Yeah, I'll send it to you after this.
Yeah. Speaking of after this, I think that about wraps up. You got anything you want to say in closing about Star Fox, bud?
Star Fox is an amazing game, but I'm still going to fight you about it being as good as Ocarina of Time.
No, it's not as good as, it's better.
Nah, that's it, man. I'm good. I enjoyed talking with you.
Yeah, of course, man. I'm glad you're here, because I think we got a few more of these lined up, too, now that I think about it. But what's your Instagram?
It's Stormtrooper Core.
Stormtrooper Core. And it's got...
just like it sounds, C-O-R-E, not C-O-R-P-S.
There you go. And then, yep, I'm Drew. You know our Instagram already. I'll talk to you there about this episode, and we'll catch you on the next one. Bye.
Later.